We're going to start talking. Well, today is April 29th, and I'm interviewing Glenna Spitzi about her involvement with women's studies over the years. So, Glenna, tell me, how did you first get involved with women's studies?
Well, I came to this campus in 1979. This was my first job after finishing my PhD at the University of Illinois. And I had been involved in the women's movement as an undergraduate and graduate student there, and had also done research relating to gender. And so I became involved pretty quickly. I think I recognized this as something I wanted to do. I can't remember very well, but I'm sure I must have learned some about the program from Chris Bost, who was my colleague at the time. And so I think I probably started attending meetings that first year I was here. And shall I go on?
Or sure, go on.
So anyway, I have been involved ever since. I've been regularly on various committees. I was on the search committee, which was successful in hiring Iris, which was, I think, my second year here. And I attended a number of the early meetings, which were held in the evening at people's houses, and then have been very active since we've had faculty meetings on campus during sort of regular working hours.
Well, what committees have you served on? Talk a little bit about that, because that will give us a flavor.
Okay, well, in addition to that search committee, I've been on the undergraduate committee at least once. I've been...
Doing what?
Well, let's see. Most recently, I think this was a year or two ago, we were sort of reevaluating the program, and... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how far we got, but I know one thing we were thinking about was the introductory course and the role of the teaching collective and ways to consider redefining that in mm-hmm. some way. I'm currently on the graduate committee, which was not active at all for most of the year, and now suddenly we've become very active in trying to revise the master's program proposal, which kind of got buried in a file mm-hmm. somewhere, and now that the letter of intent has been approved, it's time to revise the proposal, which is about 2 years old, and get everything mm-hmm. back going through the channel. So we're working on that right now. Let's see, I've been on the steering committee several times. Mm-hmm. I can't remember when, but certainly over the years. I think mm-hmm. I've served or three terms. And I can't remember what else, but I do feel like I've been involved one mm-hmm. way or another pretty continuously.
Yeah. Have you taught, what kind of courses have you taught for women's studies?
Okay. For many years, starting my first year here, I taught the sociology of, now it's called the sociology of gender. Mm. When I first came, it was called the sociology of sex roles, and along with all sorts of changes in the field and how mm-hmm. we think about those terms, we changed it to the sociology of gender at some point, probably in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. And I taught that course, I would say, through sometime well into the 80s, but at some point I took a break from it, and I actually haven't gone back. I've mm-hmm. gotten more involved in teaching other classes in sociology, including mm-hmm. the family. But I've also taught a graduate course called Families, which has a number of students who are in, I guess it's the DA program, mm-hmm. who are specializing in women's studies, as well as people from a lot of different departments.
Yeah.
Across the campus, and it is cross-listed, and usually mm-hmm. has, you know, maybe a third of the students who are signed up through women's mm-hmm. studies. So those are my two main teaching contributions.
Yeah. Right. I have asked everyone this, but are there people who are no longer around that you can remember who made contributions to the Women's Studies program / department? I guess I'm thinking of staff and faculty rather than students at this point. Or, although if you think about students.
Well, you know, nobody really comes to mind immediately. I'm sure, I know there were people who were here in the very early years who helped develop the program that I didn't know. So there may be somebody obvious that is not coming to my mind that I would I would feel badly for not thinking of, but but no one comes to mind at the moment.
Well, how about some of the students?
Well, I must say that I also have not known a lot of the women's studies majors. There were probably some that I had in my gender class early on, but who don't really stand out in my mind, and I didn't know necessarily whether they were active as majors. But in more recent years, I really have not known the undergraduate students. They, you know, probably don't take my classes, because most of the classes I teach the undergraduate level are for sociology majors, and so whenever people are talking about students or asking for letters of nomination, you know, for the awards, I just don't recognize the names.
Over the years, the program has been confronted with issues from time to time. Can you recall some of those, and would you like to talk about them?
Well, I think we've had some issues having to do with sort of how structured we were and who was most involved in decision making, and you know, even issues like timing of meetings, which I think for me, I feel like we've moved in a good direction on some of those issues. I do recall that early on, sometimes it was very difficult for me as a parent of young children, and you know, a couple of years as a pregnant person who got very tired, to be attending meetings at night at people's houses. And I was really in favor of moving toward having meetings during normal working hours, so it wouldn't feel like such a choice to have to make, and I've been very pleased about that. I certainly have enjoyed the advances, which are during other kinds of hours, but but I think in general, I'm pleased that we've moved toward having more of the meetings on campus and easier for some people to attend. And I guess I also have been pleased that we've at least had some faculty meetings, which were mainly attended by faculty members and not had all meetings, you know, with a large student presence. Because I think there are some issues that the faculty, as people who both have a longer-term stake in the department and who have more experience, should be deciding. So I think, you know, having meetings on campus with a defined group of people has been a good change, and I think it also has helped all of the faculty to feel like they had a voice and that decisions were being made after a lot of open discussion, which I think is important.
The program became a department about 10 years ago, give or take a few years. What do you see as the differences, if there are some?
Well, first of all, I remember that happening, and it was such a wonderful process because it was so easy. I remember that we were sitting around in a meeting one day, and we sort of said, gee, we have faculty, we have majors, we have this, we have that. We look like a department. Why shouldn't we be a department? And so we made some kind of formal proposal, thinking that it would be a real uphill battle, and suddenly we were a department. So I remember that as being very pleasant. I think certainly it has, although we continue to deal with to some extent with problems of image in relation mm-hmm. to some other people on campus, and that may continue. But I think being a department certainly helps with mm-hmm. the issue of having status on the department mm-hmm. and being able to have representatives to, you know, mm-hmm. Faculty council and all of those kinds of issues, right. and having a claim on resources. Mm-hmm. And also, I think in some ways, this process of moving toward regularizing, you know, meeting times mm-hmm. and definitions of who's on the faculty and so on occurred to some extent during that same period. Mm-hmm. So I think it was all part of the same process,
right.
in a sense.
Right.
When we were talking about committees, one thing that I was involved in, I don't remember how many years ago now, maybe about 5, was the bylaws, mm-hmm. making mm-hmm. some changes in the bylaws, which I think also in some ways went along with that same process of defining procedures and making sure that we were consistent.
Right. I know that you're working on the graduate committee on the master's, which we hope will someday be granted.
Right.
What do you think will be the future? Do you think we'll be able to expand and grow and go on to bigger and better things? I shouldn't say it that way because don't want to put words in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. So just yeah. in general.
In
the
general, well,
of the
yeah, the future of the department. We've talked a little bit about how it's evolved.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see for it?
Well, I think I see some growth. It's certainly moving into having a graduate program, I think, is a very positive step, and I think mm-hmm. Again, it gives us more claim for resources in relation mm-hmm. to the rest of the university. I think we will continue to have to justify ourselves, mm-hmm. and that may sort of go through different cycles. I think we were doing, you know, very well for a while, and then there have been some recent sort of general shifts
yeah.
on campus that have led some factions to be more vocal, and we've
mm-hmm.
come under more questioning and criticism. But
mm-hmm.
But I think that we are such a strong faculty. We have so many people who are involved
mm-hmm.
and really strongly committed, who are very highly respected
mm-hmm.
members of other departments, as well as some very strong faculty who are core members,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, as long as all of these people maintain their commitment, I think that we will continue
mm-hmm.
to thrive.
What about the field of women's studies? One of the goals at one time was to transform the curriculum, to bring, I guess, the feminist analysis to everything and in every course. I don't know whether that's still a goal of women's studies people or whether, you know.
Well, you know, I must admit, I don't attend the National Women's Studies
mm-hmm.
Association
mm-hmm.
meetings, and I'm not as involved in thinking about those
mm-hmm.
kinds of issues as some members
mm-hmm.
of the department are. I certainly think that is still, I assume that's still a goal, and
mm-hmm.
I think there have been a lot of successes, and in that sense, you know, maybe the ultimate goal is not to be needed anymore, but I think that'll be a very, very long way away.
Yeah.
I guess I would, I don't know, you know, about whatever discussions may be going on in the field
mm-hmm.
about this issue, but I think I would like to see us move in the direction of being gender studies and,
mm-hmm.
and focusing on, which we certainly are in some sense, but I think there are ways in which we focus on women's
mm-hmm.
lives that I would like to see us. You know, I think we've been doing that for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
and it certainly has been necessary and continues to be necessary, but I think there are ways that we can also focus on men's lives that is not being done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Certainly it's true that much of the material in some of the traditional disciplines was about men, but mm-hmm. it wasn't about men's lives in the ways that I think they need to be studied.
Mm-hmm.
Just as one example, I think research needs to be done about why divorced men are not involved with their children, and mm-hmm. it needs to be a more complex analysis than much of what's been done so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see us move in that direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly think the need for women's studies still is very strong, and I assume that it will continue to grow, because
mm-hmm.
Certainly there are many people in many traditional fields who want to be involved, certainly increasing
mm-hmm.
numbers. Certain, the students that come into the sociology graduate program, large proportions of them are interested in gender.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is certainly a growing field, and there will continue to be a lot of people who are involved
right.
in women's studies as well as in traditional disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've been talking about what women's studies brings to the campus or to the educational program on the campus.
Well, one thing I'd like to say, which is not so much the educational program, although it certainly
mm-hmm.
contributes indirectly, is that particularly in the early years, women's studies allowed me to meet other women on campus, and
mm-hmm.
I think that was very important, and it continues to be important,
mm-hmm.
but it was particularly important then. I remember being aware of who the women were, not only in the social sciences,
mm-hmm.
but even in other departments, and going to meet new people on campus, and I certainly haven't kept up, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we've been hiring a lot more women since then, but it was a wonderful way to meet other women and to feel like I had these bonds
yes.
with people that I might not have been able to have
mm-hmm.
In my own department. And I'm sure that did that for a lot of women, and continues
mm-hmm.
to do so.
Right.
So there's some of the warmest friendships
mm-hmm.
that people have. And I'm sure that contributes indirectly, in the sense that it makes it a warmer climate
mm-hmm.
for those of us who work here, and we can, you know, shed that warmth on our students and other activities.
Right.
And I think it certainly, although I haven't been as involved in the core courses, it provides the same kind of community for some of the
mm-hmm.
the women students who identify as feminists.
Yes, I think you're right. Well, we think we're about at the end. But to give you a chance, is there anything you want to say at the before we finish this little interview?
Well, I guess I would just like to reinforce my sense that this is a wonderfully warm, supportive group of people
mm-hmm.
to be involved
mm-hmm.
with, and can't imagine what it would be like on this campus if this group didn't exist, and I certainly feel optimistic about the future of women's studies here.
Good. Great.